I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're allowing Warriors and Sharks talk today because they're doing monumentally historic things. If the Warriors win game 7 tomorrow, it will be the first time since the early 80s that a team's come back from 3-1 down in the conference finals, and that was my Larry Bird Celtics back in the day. And of course, the Sharks in the Stanley Cup for the first time in their franchise existence. Pretty damn cool time to be a Bay Area sports fan, including a Giants fan. They've won 14 out of 16. Joining us to discuss their torrid stretch of ball is a good friend of the program, Sean Estes. Sean, how you doing, man? What's up?
Herbs, I'm doing well, man. Just had to another youth baseball tournament.
Yeah, I can't get you as frequently as I like to get you because you're always doing something with your kids and baseball. Are you a head coach or do you just focus on the little pitchers?
Well, I focus on the pitch. I don't know. I'm head coach by default. I didn't want to be the head coach. Ended up head coach last year, failed on us. And then so Lee Tinsley, who had some big league time, was the assistant hitting coach for the Reds for the past couple years. He's got some free time now without a job, so he's helping me out. So we got some knowledge out there. Does it translate onto the field? Not all the time, but we're doing our best.
Hey, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink. We're talking with Sean Estes here inside the Bigs. You can follow him on Twitter at SEstes55. Sean, one of the rules on the show is if a caller calls in and is so good, so impressive to the producer, we stop what we're doing and put them on the air. Do you mind if I put this caller on the air? Supposedly, they're fantastic.
Bring him in.
All right, let's go. Mowat in Alameda is responding to the question, if I offered you an A's American League championship in exchange for a Game 7 loss by the Warriors, would you take it? Mowat, what do you say?
If you take that, I literally want whatever it is that you're smoking, because you are trading history. We're talking an actual record being broken, solidifying yourself as the best team ever for a World Series possibility. I mean, come on. I know the A's. I'm a huge A's fan. Don't get me wrong. But you're taking history away for a coin flip? Nah, I'm cool.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Mowat. I appreciate it. I'm going to challenge your A's fandom then. Because if you're truly a diehard A's fan, you're taking that berth in the World Series over the Warriors Game 7. Sean, sorry for the digression, but that's just one.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Does that guarantee the Warriors win the championship? No.
Nope. It's just winning Game 7 tomorrow.
Just winning Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, I mean, I think that the odds are definitely stacked up against the A's to even make the playoffs. So if you are a true A's fan, you take that. You take the championship. You take the AL. What'd you say, an AL championship to get to the World Series?
Yep.
Yeah. You gotta take it.
Okay.
There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees the Warriors that win Game 7 that they even win a championship. And then the season's, I mean, obviously it's a magical season, but, you know, they didn't finish the deal.
Yeah, I hear you. We're talking with Sean Estes here inside the Bigs. He does analyst work for CSN Bay Area. I got to know Sean while I was at CSN Bay Area. Good dude, good baseball guy, knows pitching back and forth, upside, outside, inside, out. Sean, I've got another A's-related question for you because one of the few highlights so far this season has been Rich Hill. Have you gotten a chance to watch much of him? And I questioned the signing because they threw a pretty good chunk of change at him based on 4 starts last season. He's been fantastic this year. Did you think he was going to be able to do that? Were you among those of us who kind of raised our eyebrows when the A's threw some good coin at him?
Yeah, I was. I mean, based on the fact that he was 36, 37 years old,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he went through some injuries, you know, hasn't had that one year where you can kind of, as an evaluator, say, well, you know, he can get back to that. You know, he hasn't had that one big year. So, yeah, for sure I was. But I think based on the scouting, you know, which they definitely did the due diligence on that because he finished the season really strong last year in the starts that he did make. They saw something that they really liked out of Rich Hill, and he hasn't disappointed one bit. I mean, he's probably right now considered top four pitcher in the American League.
Yeah,
he's now even a Cy Young candidate.
He's right up there with the ERA leaders. I think he's sixth in the league in ERA. It's a sub-3 for sure, sub-2.5 even.
Yeah, so, I mean, they hit the jackpot on this one. Hopefully he can continue to pitch this well throughout the season. I mean, obviously, you know, when you get older, you know, you always consider the health an issue. So hopefully he can make 33, 34 starts and put himself into that talk.
Give me the odds of him being in green and gold the entire season.
The odds, geez, I don't know. Not good.
I get. Thank you. That's the most succinct answer you've ever given me, Sean. Thank you.
Not good. I just don't see the A's. I think them. I think they'll probably spin their wheels for a while here, and he'd be a perfect guy to trade to a contender come July.
Hey, Sean, you pitch in the big leagues. You obviously know the game very, very well. I try to educate fans that maybe don't have that type of in-depth knowledge, especially when it comes to pitching. Rich Hill, staying with the A's, has a phenomenal noon-to-six curveball. I mean, that really is the key to his success. And one thing that you hear often from hitters when they're talking about guys with great curveballs, I heard it with Zito all the time too, is that even if they're not hard throwers, that curveball adds about, you know, metaphorically 5 miles an hour to their fastball, because you always hear hitters say, well, you have to honor the curveball, which starts up high, so it puts your eyes there, and then when you could swing right through an 89 mile an hour fastball at the same eye level because you have to honor the curve. Can you make that make sense for the fans? Because I don't quite get it. I get it that the curveball starts up high, but it would seem to me a big league hitter would be able to identify a fastball coming in high as opposed to a curveball that's starting that it's high at its apex.
Well, okay, so if a guy throws 90 plus, you know, even 88 to 92, all right, I think the harder you throw your fastball, obviously the more harder it is to lay off of the high fastball when you have a good curveball, because you have to not cheat for the fastball, but you have to get ready for it. Now, if you have a huge disparity between your fastball velocity and your curveball velocity, and you have a big over-the-top curveball like Hill does, like Zito did, you can't pick up spin, because a lot of times really tight curveballs that have a lot of depth, well, the six, they don't, you can't pick up spin until it's too late. So you have to respect the fastball. You have to sit on fastball, and then if you throw a breaking ball before that. So you're saying to yourself, okay, lay off the high, lay off anything up. All right, so you lay off the curveball up, and then it drops into the zone for a strike. So now you see that level. It comes in. You're thinking, I don't know if it's a curveball or fastball or not. I got to get ready just in case it is a fastball. And then you're late on it because it's by you at 92 miles an hour or 90 miles an hour, whatever it might be. So you've already committed to that pitch. So that's, to me, that's what the beauty of a curveball, a big curveball, is that it's the speed differential. And it's the eye level, because pitching is all about changing eye level and changing speeds. So you have both of those in one pitch. Now, as far as the pitcher goes, you have to prove to the hitter that you can throw it for a strike, or it does you no good. So if the hitter can sit fastball, right? You do throw a curveball, but they pick up spin late, and they know that you're not throwing it for a strike. They're just going to spin on it, and they're going to look for something down in the zone. But if you can prove to the hitter that you can throw it for a strike and change eye level with it, then you got them beat right there. They get caught in between a lot of times. You talk about hitters. You talk to hitters about, I was caught in between because the curveball 72 and the fastball is 92. That's 20 miles an hour differential. So you get caught in between, especially if you can go back and forth. That's why changeup's so huge too. A guy that can take a lot off of his changeup looks like a fastball. They don't see it until late, they already committed to a fastball, and then they swing through the changeup. So, you know, if you can throw for a strike and you got a good fastball to go with it, and that's why Zito was so effective, I believe, earlier in his career, and, you know, even at times later in his career, is that, you know, he could throw 91, 90, 91, and then throw that big breaking ball off of that. So, Rich Hill's got that going right now, and that's what's going to be, you know, for me, that's the key to him. He raised his arm angle, you know, from a couple years ago. He dropped down a little bit. Now he's back up top where you get that you know, you get that better angle with the curveball. He's back to throwing. He's back to fastball, curveball guys. So he's reinvented himself or went back to what worked for him early on in his career, and he's rolling with it.
See, that was more a classic Sean Estes answer. That was 3 minutes and 47 seconds. Well done, sir. I've got we're running out of time. I got one more for you, though. We haven't really talked Giants baseball at all. Matt Cain finally got it going, and then he goes on the DL. So you're like, damn, we need at least one other dude other than the big three to get some work done for us. And then here comes Jake Peavy with his best start of May, certainly, and his best start since, I believe, mid-April he got into the seventh inning. Did you see that start, and what did you see that was so dramatically different than what's had him getting cuffed around in most outings?
Yeah, well, back to what you said about Kane, I think that's exactly the word that I said when I saw him walk off the field was, damn. I mean, the injury bug that hit him the last couple of years, and then he's got it rolling the last three starts and was throwing well the other day, and then all of a sudden, boom, back on the DL. But for Peavy, you know, for him, it's pretty simple. I mean, stuff-wise, he's never going to be 92, 93, 94 with this fastball, so he's got to locate. He's got to locate the slider. I think the curveball is a big pitch for him when you keep it down in the zone. To me, it's all about, you know, staying away from the belt high pitch, regardless of what it is. Regardless if it's the slider, the curveball, the fastball, the cutter, the changeup. It's about staying down in the zone and having good late life to your pitches. So he was able to do that. He was able to stay out of the middle of the plate belt high. And when you can hit corners, hit spots, and you can make the appearance of a pitch coming in look good to the hitter where they have to commit to it, and then it has good late life to it, good finish. That's where he's going to have success. But if he keeps making mistakes up in the zone with any pitch, no, I'm not just saying the fastball. I'm talking cutter, slider, change, curve. Yeah, it's going to get whacked. It's just a lot more hittable. It's a lot more hittable. And so he just did a lot better job of locating those pitches.
Yeah,
and whatever it is, if it's a mechanical thing or what with him, you know, because he knows how to repeat his delivery. He's been around long enough to know how to make a quick fix within game, you know, mode. But sometimes it's a physical thing. You don't feel as good that start, you know, and you have a tougher time, you know, hitting your spots. But he had it going last start.
Yeah, and if they can get him going, you know, string together a few good starts in a row to complement what the big three are doing, it doesn't matter whether Matt Cain stays out for long. If you just got four of those five guys clicking with the offensive potential that the Giants have, they may very well run away with the NL West. Sean, we've run out of time. I appreciate your time. Hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Okay, Herb. Thanks, bud.
All right, that's Sean Estes. You can follow him on Twitter at SEstes55.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.